of adjustment, but easy on the curves.
Not a glitch, Kakadu. Just got dyslexia, okay?
This out on you! This out on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Obscure Disney Podcast.
Brought to you by Mary Poppincorn. Practically perfect in every way.
To all who have come to this podcast during this Merry Christmas season, welcome. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast. I'm Steven.
And I'm Ryan.
And with new episodes coming out every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass to this podcast by subscribing at Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts from? Or you can find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com. I was totally going to skip it and just go right to that.
What is going on right now? You've put us in Christmas. It's still November.
It doesn't matter how. As soon as Thanksgiving's over, it's Christmas season.
Okay.
That's the way it works, isn't
it? All right.
Once you've got your Black Friday specials under the tree, we don't.
No. So it's officially not Christmas here at our house, but it might be at your house.
But we have our fiber optic Christmas tree up, so.
Ooh, she sparkles.
It took all of 4 minutes to open the box and place it on the table. Very festive.
Right. Are you ready for a travel cast, though?
Yeah. So the day after Thanksgiving, we basically just woke up and said, why don't we go to, let's go to the Magic Kingdom today.
Yeah, like you do. Right. As one does. You just wake up and decide to go.
Right.
And it was a very short 6-hour drive away, minus the fact that we got lost for about an hour, so it went to 7. How we managed to do that in a world of GPS, I don't know.
Right. We ended up going through the back swamplands of Florida to get there.
Which were really pretty, honestly. Yeah. Like, I like the kind of farmland that we ended up in.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Wasn't great.
Wasn't bad.
Anyway, but then we found the Magical Kingdom, and it was magical pulling onto Disney property down there.
Yeah. I mean, we've been there before.
Yeah.
However, it's always been at a different time. It's always been during the summer. It's always been with a lot of other people. This is the first time going just you and I.
Yep.
So, literally driving in and seeing the sign, I always kind of roll my eyes at people who are like, oh, it's the sign! And then I find myself going, oh, it's the sign!
Every time we passed any sign, we did it too.
Yeah.
Like, we'd pass it and it was pretty fun.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
So, we...
As cheesy as it sounds.
Right.
And there's all the signs, they do have tons of signs that are like, do not stop, keep moving, strictly enforced.
Stop jumping out of your car and trying to take pictures of the sign.
We will arrest you. It makes you wonder why they don't do something like they do in Las Vegas, where they have a small parking lot that you can pull over to the side.
Oh, yeah. Like, so you can take a picture by the sign.
Yeah.
Oh, can you imagine? There'd be a line for that, too.
There would be a line.
It'd be terrible.
But that's fine, as long as it's out of the way.
And, yeah.
You know, that's all I care about. As long as you can still drive on the roads.
So we got there, and it was a little bit later than we planned on, so the sun had already gone down.
Yes.
Yep. And, which it doesn't say much. It's, you know, winter, so everything, the sun goes down at like 3:30.
Yeah.
So, but we had pre-bought our tickets, so we just had to go up to, we went to the Ticket and Transportation Center, which you unfortunately started calling the TTC really too quickly for my taste. I didn't like it.
I can't remember what order it goes in and what it even stands for. So for those that haven't been to the Magic Kingdom or haven't been to Disney World, it's a very unique experience.
It's huge.
It is. They legitimately bought 42 square miles of property.
Right.
And there's random roads that come into this area. They developed their own city council. They created their own city.
Yeah.
That literally they manage it. They are the ones that manage the city. So if you call the police department, it is legitimately Disney. If you pay your
Goofy
water bill,
shows up and tries to put some rubber like handcuffs on you, and they bounce all over the place.
Yeah. If you pay your water bill, it literally goes to Disney for people in that area. Yeah. They manage the entire area, which you've explained to me before, and everything that you've explained to me,
I did not realize until this trip what it was that you were actually talking about.
About how massive Disney is down there.
About how massive. And I've been there one time before on a 1 week vacation.
Yeah.
But we drove onto property. We stayed on property and we would get up in the morning. A bus would take us to where we're going and we were done. That's right. So you didn't really get a full scope of how big it is and how much infrastructure they own and build and develop and how much control they have.
Yeah.
And they literally get to do whatever they want.
Yeah.
When they apply for building permits, they literally apply with themselves.
Can we build this? Yes, we can.
I think we can. Sounds like a great idea. I agree fully.
Mickey the Builder. Yeah, so they have a place called the Ticket and Transportation Center, which is kind of like a hub-esque kind of place.
Yeah.
Where you can go and they have, like, obviously the ticket booths, and then a lot of transportation goes out of that area.
Yeah, if anybody's familiar with the Port Authority out of New York, New Jersey, it's that same concept, but on a much smaller scale.
Oh, okay.
But they're the ones that manage the bus system, the taxi system, the monorail system, because they literally count that as transportation on Disney property.
Yeah.
And so is the buses and,
Everything else.
And everything else that they have, too. But it's literally managed completely as a transportation corporation, essentially.
And I was super excited to get our passes because you get magic bands at Disney World. And I've never gotten one because I've only been there for a short period of time. And magic bands literally are like Fitbits that Disney produces. And you use them for everything. You use it to get into the park. You use it to get into hotel rooms. You use it to pay for things. You know, like, they've tied a lot of things to this band. And I was super excited to get them.
Yeah.
And then we got our tickets and they had like a whole display of the bands and everything. I was like, ooh, picking my color. And I was all excited. And then he finished and he handed us cards. And you said, do we get the bands here? Do we get them in the park? He's like, oh, no, you have to order those and they mail them to your house in like 2 to 3 weeks. And I was like, I was like, that sucks. Yeah. I was all excited to have my magic band and I didn't get one.
Yeah, you
like,
have been excited about this for years now about the magic band system.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, though, like they built into California another kind of system as well, right? That the new fast pass system they have there, but it's not a magic band system. It's more of a barcode.
It's a scanner.
Yeah, and they only have the scanner in there. I really want to find out why they didn't include the magic band because they're pretty fantastic.
I can't
understand why they would not allow you to spend $30 on a magic band there.
We'll go into the minutiae of magic bands a different time because it's a whole other discussion, I think.
Truly, yeah, we don't have time for it today.
Yeah.
We'll go into it later.
So, but then we come to our first complaint about Disney World, specifically the Magic Kingdom. At Disneyland, for a long time, you would pull up and you would literally park in front of the front gates. Everything that is now California Adventure was a parking lot. And you would literally park in Dumbo, you know, Dumbo 36, and walk up to the gates from there. Obviously, they're a bit bigger now and they require, you know, some other options.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
However, Magic Kingdom has made getting to its gates an epic journey.
Unbelievably so.
It's so convoluted that I can't really understand it.
Yeah.
We went to the TTC, the Ticket and Transportation Center, and there are two ways, I believe, from there, or three ways from there to get to the Magic Kingdom.
They've added the third option.
None of them are walking.
Right.
You either have to take a bus, a monorail train or a boat to get to the Magic Kingdom.
So picture it, y'all. Just to recap here real quick. You pull onto property and you go underneath this grand sign that says, "Welcome to Walt Disney World."
Yeah.
And then you continue driving for another miles and miles and miles. And then you go through a bunch of other signs, a bunch of other intersections. You come to another sign that says, "Welcome to Magic Kingdom."
Yeah.
And then you, from there, pull through this massive parking lot and find a park.
Yeah.
You find a place to park. Then you get on a small little tram. That tram drives you up to this ticketing center, right? I stutter like crazy.
Ticket.
This is why.
The TTC.
Then you get to the TTC. And now you're still a mile and a half away from the front gate of Magic Kingdom.
What is going on?
Like,
it's unbelievable.
It's legitimately. Yeah,
we were so confused by it.
Shocked.
Yeah. So we ended up getting on the boat.
Yeah, because you have three options. You can either take the ferry across the man-made lagoon.
Right.
Right, that's huge. You can either take the ferry across there. You can either take the monorail that will take you around property and eventually get you over to the gate.
Right. I think it has like one stop between the transportation center and the main gate, I think.
Okay. And then they've added a third option for buses, but I doubt the buses were running at 6 o'clock at night when we got there.
Bus one's still running?
And bus was not running that late at night, I tell you what.
So we hop on the boat. It's very nice.
It was.
It's a nice, tranquil kind of, it's almost like being on the Mark Twain at Disneyland. Like, oh, you're kind of listening to Princess and the Frog music as it goes across the seven
and really, lagooners. Yeah, when you're pulling up at 6 o'clock at night, it is a magical moment.
Yeah, that you are. There's not a lot of people.
Yeah, truly. Like, if you were inside the park, you would have to wait in line to get on that ride anyway. And yeah. So it is a fun experience getting there. And we took time. We were enjoying. It was beautiful. You saw the castle. It was all lit up in Christmas lights. We took pictures and we posted those on Instagram. So that's where that photo came from. It was literally us going across the river at night, or the lagoon at night.
Right.
Very pretty.
It was.
But.
And then you finally get over there, right? After this journey, this mammoth trek to get to the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, and there was nobody there. It was like, we were getting there at a time that there was nobody there.
Yeah.
Imagine if there were people getting there with us.
Right. Oh. Well, we'll get to that when we leave. But, so we use, much to my chagrin, we use our regular passes to get in the gates, and they scan your finger, too, which I guess my phone does it, too, where it asks for a fingerprint to unlock your phone, but I always wonder, how accurate could it possibly be, you know? I think, I don't know. Maybe it's a formality, maybe they're really good at taking fingerprints, who knows? And then we're finally in the park. For the first time.
I bet the fingerprint technology is pretty good by now.
You think so?
Yeah.
All right.
Next time I'll try.
I'll let you have it.
Next time I'll try the wrong finger.
They won't let you do it.
Well, it will, just to see if it like kicks me out.
Oh, there you go.
And if it works.
Yeah, that's a great idea with a line of hundreds of people behind you. Just play with it. See what it can let you do.
See what happens at that point.
So we finally get into the park. We're excited to be there. Beautiful. We, on the drive down, I fiddled around a bit with getting fast passes, which is massively different than Disneyland.
Yeah.
And
I actually, the theory behind the system over there, I love.
Yeah.
I do.
You think it's fun? I think it works out in a lot of ways. I think it's a good idea. Basically, your fast passes, you select them prior to getting into the park.
Right.
Which is fun.
Which I love that idea.
And then they are attached to your Magic Band. So you use that to use your fast passes to jump on rides a bit faster. The downside is that very much like Disneyland, there's a limited number of fast passes per ride per day. And so if you are not very proactive about getting your fast passes early, you don't end up with very good fast passes.
Yeah. Well, and I should say, I love the logistics management part of it.
Uh-huh.
As a manager who was trying to figure out how you manage crowds, if you had somebody go on and tell you 60 days in advance when they were going to be there, what time of day they were going to be there, and why they where in the park they wanted to be, and what food they were going to order along the way with it as well,
be
like, heck yes.
Yeah. It is great for planning.
It sounds like a godsend, really, from a management point of view, on how you manage that many people, 100,000 people a day in that park.
Right.
Outside of that, from a guest point of view, especially for us, it was less ideal. But
only just because we were jumping on passes that day, so you don't get great ones, and they're usually later at night.
Yeah.
Anything that's hard to get, you can just forget. You're not getting on fast passes for that. And then you're limited to the number you can get, which is new for us.
Completely new for us.
Yeah. So you can only get three. And I know there's a tier system, but I didn't look into that very much.
Oh, yeah, I have heard about this.
So you can get three fast passes, and if you manage to use all three of those fast passes before the operating day is over, you can get a rolling fourth fast pass afterwards.
Interesting.
So the idea is to get as many fast passes early in the day so you can use them all, so you can try to get later fast passes after that.
Okay.
So good and bad. I think good, it's great to be able to plan your vacation like that. The bad is, should you run into somebody else that you want to ride rides with, or, you know, another group that you're meeting up with, if you're not all getting your fast passes together, mm-hmm. you can't add people to your group or, you know, anything like that.
And I should say, we were stuck in a line for a ride that was closed and who didn't let us on. We were talking with people around us. That's when we found out that if you stay on property, you can get your tickets 60 days in advance.
Your fast passes.
Right. You can get your fast passes 60 days in advance if you bought your tickets that far in advance.
Right.
If you're not staying on property, it's only 30 days in advance. Right. Meaning that all the people that are staying on property get first choice, which from a business point of view, I guess, makes sense.
Sure.
From somebody who's not, didn't stay on property, it was awful.
It was kind of shady. Well, the guy behind us in line is like, I am up at 9 o'clock in the morning, 30 days before my trip. And the passes for all these rides that everyone wants are long gone.
Yeah.
You know, so pluses and minuses to the fast pass system in Disney World. Fun though. It was fun being there. I had a great time.
Oh yeah. It's like Disneyland, but three times bigger.
Right.
Everything's bigger. Walkways are bigger. Around the castle, there's three times as many walkways instead right. of just having one circle.
But none of them are straight. It's all like weird loopy.
Right.
So you,
and the fact that we were there for the first time so late at night, we quickly realized how dark everything was.
It was so dark in there. It's like someone unscrewed half the light bulbs. We're like,
ambient lighting at best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's weird because it's like a bizarro Disneyland where things are almost where they are at Disneyland,
yeah.
but not quite where they are at Disneyland. So I would pretend for a second, I'm like, oh yeah, Thunder Mountain's definitely in this direction. And then we end up at a weird dead end somewhere, you know, and I'm like, oh, this is oh, not right. the right direction.
We're yeah. That's in going. A completely different part of the park.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it being dark and yeah. us being stubborn about not constantly checking maps, cause it was still busy. I didn't want to be like staring at a map constantly, but
having a paper map would be a good idea in the future.
You think so?
Sure.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can try that. We got the chance to go on Haunted Mansion, which has a great queue there.
I love it.
They have an interactive thing. Yeah. I got sneezed on, which was gross.
Oh, did you get sneezed on that queue?
No, it's an effect that they have.
Oh, God.
Okay. We'll talk about you sick people at Disney World in another podcast, but yeah, they have a fun interactive queue where there's music and things that you can play with and stuff at the Haunted Mansion. I was obviously mistaken because they do have a holiday overlay on the Jungle Cruise.
Right. Well, if you call it that.
It turns into the Jingle Cruise.
Yeah.
Which means, you know, they put a couple Santa hats around on the gorillas and the jokes change a bit. But it is an overlay for Christmas. I'll give them that.
Yeah.
The Jingle Cruise.
Yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah.
We went on Ariel, which was pretty much the same as
inside was the same California. But the outside, the theming on the outside is fantastic.
That's very true.
Mainly because they utilized a building that was already built before in California Adventure, and so it looks like, you know, an artifact of it's up there, this science place in wherever it is in California. That's what the outside is supposed to look like anyway. So the queue at Disney World is much, much better.
Yeah,
it's
beautiful. Very Little Mermaid.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we spent as much time as we could there. The park didn't close till 11 and we were literally not leaving until 11, you know?
Right. Well, we just barely got there at 6. Like,
and we were the second time we were eating on Pirates, we bumped into a little girl, not literally, but we bumped into a girl that had the miniskirt.
I got my very first miniskirt, y'all.
Oh, wow.
Like, legit. So, they have a really fun thing. It's called the Mickey's Kitchen Sink ice cream thing or something.
The Mickey's Kitchen Sink Sundae,
I think. Is what it is, right? And so, it's like $15 or something. Huge old thing. And it's only 2 scoops of ice cream, but I don't know what they do that thing because it's far. I don't know how big their scoops are.
It's 2 scoops of ice cream, whipped cream, cherries, and some sort of sauce on it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And we bought the one, and so if you get the ice cream, it comes inside a Mickey's sink. We shared one, I don't know, 3 years ago, maybe?
Yeah.
And we really did it because we wanted the Mickey pants that are shaped like a sink that have, like, faucets and stuff on it. We'll take pictures. I'm sure if you haven't seen them, we'll take pictures and put it out there, but absolutely fine. So it just sits on the counter, you know, holds our fruit.
Every now and then we'll throw some onions in there or something, just to, you know.
Keeps it from falling off. Well, apparently they have the mini edition, which she's wearing. It's basically a skirt around the sink. And
yeah,
absolutely loved it.
So cute.
So there we are, late at night, eating ice cream. And it was as overwhelming as I pre-prepared before. I was like, I can't believe that.
And as someone who gets cold easily, that much ice cream just rocks my world every time.
Yeah.
Like, I get cold super easy, so eating two giant scoops of ice cream on a semi-cool night is,
right,
you know, hypothermia for me, basically.
Right.
But then let's skip quickly, not that we could while we were there,
to the guy exit. Sneezing all over us.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to take just a second and rant about this. We were sitting there eating our ice cream. We found a place to sit that was just like a low brick wall, and there was a family next to us. It's a theme park. There's always a family somewhere.
We're willing to sit on the concrete wall if need be so that families get tables. We're okay with that.
Yeah. This gentleman to our right,
nice way to call him,
sneezes, doesn't cover his mouth, and sneezes, and I'm like, oh,
that 37 times.
Well, that's the thing, is like the first time I was like, well, that was gross, and then he kept doing it, and I'm like, okay, I don't know if you have some sort of condition or if you just snorted a bunch of pepper, but literally he sneezed upwards of half, like almost a dozen times while standing near us, not once covering his mouth.
Ugh.
It was disgusting. I wanted to Purell my entire face. It was so gross.
So we got up and walked away.
Yeah.
We didn't just tease him from afar. And then as he was walking through the crowds out of the park, he was sneezing all over the back of people's heads.
Oh, gross.
Outside as they were walking through. I would have probably decked him.
Yeah.
And people on the East Coast are a little less patient than they are in California. I'm surprised he didn't get decked.
Yeah, it's true. But I was close to decking somebody on our way out.
Okay.
Because that exit takes forever. We got out of the park. We literally were walking down Main Street when they made their closing announcement.
Which was 11 o'clock p.m.
11 o'clock p.m. Mm-hmm. We walk out of the gates and there's someone screaming, the buses are also going to the ticket and transportation center. This number and this number. We're like, what is she talking about? And then we see the line for the boat that we came across on. It looks like a football stadium waiting to get on the boat.
Yeah.
So I said, we're not doing that.
Nope.
So
there's a reason they told us about the bus line.
Right.
It's because they knew how long that was going
to
take.
We walk over to the bus and there is an excessively long line for something. And we're like, what is this? Oh, of course, it's our line to get on a bus to get back over to the ticket and transportation center. We wait in line to get on the bus. Finally get on the bus, get over to the ticket transportation center.
Because, of course, it has to drive us a mile and a half back to where we just came from.
Right.
But no roads are straight in Disney World. They all go on a bit of a curve.
Right.
And there's traffic out there because there's a bunch of hotels as well.
Yeah. Then we get to the ticket and transportation center. We don't really know our way around, so we figure we'll take the tram back, which also has a massive line.
Yep.
That is just nightmarish.
It was literally like boarding lifeboats trying to get people on. Like, if you've seen the scene on Titanic, it felt like that.
Yeah.
It was like, everybody back behind the yellow line. Everybody back.
And people are trying to cram as many people as they can on there because they don't want to leave someone behind. And it's
the gates were open and people would just run. People were sitting on people's laps.
It was insanity.
And it was at the end of the day, so everybody was, you know, sweaty and gross and mad, and I was still covered in my chocolate from the Mickey sink, carrying this Mickey sink around.
And we finally get back to our car after realizing we could have walked it, which might have saved us quite a bit of time.
Oh, next time we are walking for sure.
And finally get back in our car, get off property, back to our hotel. I kid you not, I think we got to our hotel about 1 o'clock in the morning.
It was over 2 hours to get back to our hotel. And because you got to think about how far the property, just to drive off property into our hotel, was 26 minutes away, you know. And we're used to Disneyland where we literally can see the Tower of Terror from our balcony.
Yeah. That's not even close.
Yeah, you
at Disneyland, at Disney World.
You open the door and you're like, oh, it's right there. And then we complain because we had to walk down to the light to cross the road.
Right. We're running over, but I just wanted to point out that the reasoning that I heard because of why this is.
Yeah, because we could not figure it out. Like, why would they design it this way?
The reasoning that I heard was that Walt was very disappointed at Disneyland that when people were on high rides or near the edges of the park, they could look out and see traffic building up or people in the parking lot leaving, mm-hmm. and then they would try to leave to beat the traffic or be ahead of things. And he didn't like that. He wanted it to be a full break from the real world.
A complete escapism into right. a mythical world.
Either that or he didn't want people leaving to go and eat lunch somewhere else, so he made sure that it was hard as crap to get out of that park.
Because I tell you what, yeah, that's exactly what they've built for themselves there.
So a little castle kingdom.
Huh? Yeah. And I could go on for another 25 minutes. We're going to have to talk about it later.
No, but we're going to have to.
Because, I mean, ultimately, it's fun. It's a fun experience, but...
Right.
Ooh.
But it's like I always say, cover your mouth when you sneeze.
Merry Christmas.
I don't want it. I don't want it. But until next time, follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger Disney point to the exit, and we'll see you then on the Obscure Disney Podcast.